From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Tyler Rocky and Barry Cronin, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
Good morning and welcome in. It's the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club alongside Barry Cronin and Mike Gilligan in today as well. I'm Tyler Rocky. Mike, thanks so much for joining us here. You are the seasoned vet of the PGA Championship, so we had to bring you in for the entirety of today's show from 7 to 9 a.m. every single Sunday with you on ESPN 1000. Thanks so much for joining us, Mike.
Oh, it's really great to be here. Sun's coming up over the greatest big city in the world, perhaps the greatest golfing big city in the world. So, good to be here.
So, we've got a PGA Championship going on right now that has so many different angles here. We've got off-the-course storylines. We've got on-the-course storylines. We've got a leader who I'm sure a lot of people heading into this one didn't even know who he was heading in. So, let's start with the obvious here. It's Tiger Woods, right? After round three yesterday, posting his worst score in his career at the PGA Championship, went a 9 over 79 yesterday at Southern Hills. And there were some inklings that he may not show up today. Those inklings have been proven true now, as he has withdrawn after three rounds at the PGA Championship, will not compete today. Barry, how surprising was this for you to see this news come across a little early evening yesterday?
Well, I mean, based on how he played, obviously he was laboring, he was injured, and really his whole golf was futile, right? There's no way that he could win. So it was very sad to see, really, surprising. In a way, it was a little bit surprising because he's such a proud player. You thought, well, maybe he'll go out there again, but honestly, when Amanda Renner came on and said, you know, he might not, when she asked him, you know, are you going to play tomorrow? And he sort of, you know, gave some indication that he wouldn't. Wasn't really that surprising when you think about it. You know, we've lost two big stars this week. We lost Mickelson, obviously, last Friday, the Friday before, and well, we've lost Tiger. And you know, it's really sad. I mean, you lose Mickelson for you know, idiotic reason, and then you lose Tiger for an injury. And you know, it's the changing of the guard, really, in pro golf.
And speaking of Phil Mickelson, we are going to talk to Alan Shipnuck at 8:35 today. He's the author of the new Juicy Phil book that's gone out. You've seen probably some of the stories out there. You may have even knocked out a couple chapters yourself. We're going to talk to Alan Shipnuck at 8:35, so be sure to be listening then. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Hello to everyone on Twitch, and then, of course, on ESPN 1000 and 100.3 HD2. The thing that I see with Tiger is, and we talked about this a little bit when he made his comeback at the Masters as well, this is one of those things where there were the heroics on day one and day two. And we even talked a little bit after day three at the Masters. Is he going to play on Sunday? It wasn't great on day three at the Masters, much like it wasn't great here on day three at Southern Hills. But have we gotten to a point now with Tiger where, all right, is this thing starting to wrap up? Is he no longer the Tiger that can overcome some of these injuries and ailments that have hurt him these last couple of years?
You know, and in my own opinion, it's amazing what 24 hours has done in this case, because on Friday, he led us to believe, like, I can play myself back into this.
Right.
So we're thinking big things. It's moving day. Mm-hmm. It's Saturday. Thinking that we're going to wake up on Sunday and he might be on one page of the leaderboard. And instead, it was a totally different story, a story that he didn't think was going to happen himself. But, you know, it's unfortunately for Tiger, Father Time has a way of working against you. And I think we're witnessing it slowly eroding his career. And it's kind of like he's going into these major championships without studying for the test. He typically is playing an event or two just before said championship. And he's coming into this thing, and we're seeing flashes of who he was and who he can be, and he can put the game together, but we're only seeing it for a little bit at a time. Tee to green, he might have it, but then at Augusta, he's four-putting. And the common denominator that I've seen between the first two majors this year has something to do with the weather. It was cool yesterday,
right,
just like it was cool at Augusta. And that body has gone through surgery after surgery. And I think, you know, for him to play well in a championship, a major championship, such as the British Open, and we all think this is what he's, you know, preparing himself for, he's going to need perfect weather. Because that weather, I think, took a toll on him yesterday, and I think that was a big part of his demise.
Yeah, it dropped about 40 degrees.
Yeah.
I mean, it was it was in the 80s on Friday, and then it just dropped into the 50s, and you had huge wind going on, et cetera. So you're right, Mike. I mean, his body is not allowing him to do it. I will say, though, when he looked like he was going to miss the cut on Friday, and then you just saw the Tiger focus, the Tiger quality, and just the, to me, just the heroic ability to summon greatness again, to make the cut at three over par, and the cut was four over.
Right.
And I want to just go down the list of some of the guys that he beat. Henrik Stenson, Ian Poulter, Dustin Johnson, Scottie Scheffler, Lee Westwood, Adam Scott, Sergio Garcia, Martin Keimer. Now, except for Scottie Scheffler, a lot of those guys are rumored to be going to the Saudi Golf League tour.
Right.
So, so you know why, because Tiger's been beating him for 20 years.
Yeah, and now he's beating him with a bad back and a bad leg.
And now he's beating him. That's the thing. That's the thing. We look at, and he beat, you know, he had 156 guys in the field, and he beat half of them.
Right.
So we can say, well, the demise of Tiger, that's true. But, I mean, think about it. I mean, you know, he just got off of this leg surgery. He's just coming back. And the thing is, he hasn't had the health in order to, A, practice. I mean, he admits that in his press conferences. He cannot stand there and putt for 2 hours like he used to.
Right.
He can't chip for 2 hours because it takes a toll on your back. You know, we know we don't practice golf, right, most of us. But if you go out and try to practice for an hour or two at a certain, you know, it takes a toll on your legs and your back, et cetera. And much less stand there on the driving range for 3 hours, which those guys do. We have no idea how much they practice. We just see them come out and play a tournament. It's like, oh, yeah, like we go out on Saturday morning and play and maybe take a couple swings at the driving range. That's not the way it works. So he can't prepare for a major championship. And he's not playing any tournaments in advance of these events, right? So typically, for example, as Mike mentioned, if he were going to play the U.S. Open or the British Open or the Masters, he would be playing in the Players' Championship in advance of the Masters. He might play Bay Hill in advance of the Masters, whatever. So he's not doing that because he's not able to. And maybe he's not able to yet, right? So he's 46 years old. Who knows? Maybe he gets his body back. I mean, it seems to be just impossible that it takes him. You know, he's got to get up 3 hours in advance to have his body in shape just to go out and play. He's hitting. They showed him on the driving range the last couple of days, right before his round. He hits a few drivers. He hits, you know, it's like us going out on a Saturday. He hits a few drivers. He hits a few five irons. He hits a couple wedges. He hits a few putts. And then it's like, hey, let's go play the PGA Championship or the Masters. I mean, he cannot do it. And that's really the problem. And so the question is, you know, when you're young, if he were 26, you'd say, okay, he's got time. You know, even if it takes him a couple of years to rehab, he could come back and he could still be 30 and play. The problem is he's 46.
Right.
So how much to, and as you get older, as we can attest, you don't know this yet, Tyler, it takes a little longer for your body to get better and to recompose itself and to, you know, so that's a huge problem for him.
I don't want to say he rolls out of bed and can go out and make a cut at a major just out of nowhere, but because there's all the rehab that goes into it, but you rattle off that list, Barry, of all those guys that he beat, despite the fact that he has not played in any sort of tune-up rounds to get ready for these majors, and just the fact that it's a miracle in and of itself that he's even participating
100%.
In some of these.
And it's because he's Tiger Woods.
Right.
I mean, he is, you know, people talk about Jack Nicklaus. I have all the respect in the world for Jack Nicklaus and his 18 majors. You've never seen a guy play golf like this in your life. He is the greatest ever.
He is one of a kind. And that's the thing that I think hurts a lot of golf fans, is seeing him out there, and he's using the putter as a cane at times. And he's, you can see the physical pain that he is in walking through that entire 18. It's just tough to see the demise of him physically. And that's one thing that you don't necessarily see from golfers as much. Like we see in football and in basketball, you can see a guy's body start to break down a little bit. Sure, in golf, you might lose a couple yards off your drive, but at the end of the day, you're still a professional golfer. You should still be able to. You're not going to see a physical ailment sort of take these guys down and to the point where it's tough to walk the 18, which should be one of the easiest things that these guys do.
And the thing about it is, if they are hurt, let's say you got a bad back. There's a lot of injuries in golf that we don't even know about.
Right.
You're right. But if
there's
no
injury report.
Exactly. There's no injury report. But like a guy like Jason Day has had a bad back. He was the number one player in the world in 2015, won the PGA. Great player. But you just don't see him a lot, right? I mean, and of course, nobody's focused on him the way they're focused on Tiger. Thing about Tiger is he doesn't want to become a ceremonial golfer, right? That's what Nicklaus always said. I don't want to just go out there, walk around. And he's not going to do that. But anyway, I don't mean to dominate the conversation, Mike. Sorry.
Well, no, I mean, and you're exactly right. I mean, you know, with Tiger, you know, being Tiger fans, we have been starved from being able to see him.
Right.
And as a result, we're hoping for the best. We want the best. We want to will him to the top of that leaderboard, much like he used to will himself to just beat you mentally. But it just goes to show you just how fragile and razor edge to be playing at that level of what it takes day in and day out, round in and round out. And I think, Barry, you made a great point. Practice. You know, is it all about practice? But it is about practice, especially at this level. And it goes back to what I said earlier. It's as if he's coming in to take a test without studying.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you can bluff your way through the test, kind of. And that's what he's kind of doing.
You can get through the multiple choice portion. Yeah. But when that short essay shows up, your ass is about to get kicked.
That's about right. And we actually called it multiple guess at the old Glenbard West High School.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. 312-332-3776. Is this the last that we have seen of the Tiger Woods that we know? Have we seen the last of his real in-depth, he's got a chance? Have we seen the last of that with Tiger Woods? 312-332-3776. I think you do bring up a good point there, Mike, too, is we're so starved as Tiger fans. And he's got the mystique and that aura to him, kind of like Michael Jordan, too, where anytime he makes an appearance anywhere, it's news, right? It's not like we see a lot of Tiger Woods out in the wild, or we see a lot of Michael Jordan. Now, Michael Jordan can go to a fishing competition or a NASCAR race, and it's the biggest story in town. And it's the same thing with Tiger. He goes and plays in the PNC. He goes and plays in one of these major events. He does some little charity event, and it's big time news because we don't see a lot of him, and we don't see a lot of what goes on behind the scenes with making sure that his body is right night in and night out, and making sure that he can go and participate in some of these big tournaments as well.
Yeah, and I think you said it right. Tiger Woods is our modern day version of the Beatles and Elvis Presley wrapped up into one.
Yeah.
Wherever he shows, he is the story. I've heard it said before. He doesn't move the needle. He is the needle.
Right.
And it's unfortunate. It'll be amazing to see what viewership is like today on the TV.
CBS is having a meltdown. I mean,
absolutely.
You know, I mean, certainly. I know some of the writers and people that are a little bit skeptical about life go, well, all we see is Tiger Woods and he's not even in contention. And I go, well, it's the only thing I want to see half the time is what's Tiger doing?
Right.
So I think it's great. But the fact that they don't have him and they don't have Mickelson, and they've got, God love I mean, all these guys at the top of the leaderboard are terrific. Mito Pereira and Will Zalatoris and Abraham Anser and Cameron Young. I mean, they're terrific young players. Nobody, it could be walking down State and Lake here, and nobody would know who they are.
Right.
So
that's the perfect way to put it. And we'll get to the leaderboard and everything going on at the PGA Championship in just a little bit. But when we come back, I do want to discuss what's next for Tiger. What are we going to see from him moving forward? And is it time for the PGA to maybe bend some rules to make sure that we can prolong his career? 312-332-3776. It's the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000.
Here are your hosts, Barry Cronin
and Tyler Rocky.
This segment brought to you by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our three Chicagoland locations today. It is the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Tyler Rocky, Mike Gilligan, Barry Cronin with you on this PGA Championship Sunday, where we've got Mito Pereira atop our leaderboard. We're going to get into our fantasy golf rankings as well. We'll do that around 7:50. And of course, we've got Alan Shipnuck joining us at 8:35 to talk about his new book on Phil Mickelson that's been making the waves around social media and the internet as well. So we will do that at 8:35 with Alan. We've been talking all about Tiger Woods so far. If you want to join the conversation, 312-332-3776. Is this the last that we've seen of the Tiger as we know it? And some people may say, well, the Tiger that we know left us a couple years ago, pretty much after he won the Masters in a feat that I don't think any of us saw coming back in 2019. But looking at what's sort of next for Tiger, we know his eyes are set on playing in the British Open moving forward, the Open Championship. But is that something that we even think is going to happen at this point? Or do we think that he can make it through four rounds? I think that was a question that sort of dropped into some people's minds after he really struggled those final 2 days at the Masters. Could he make it to Southern Hills? Would he play at Southern Hills? All right, he's done. He's checked that box off. But now as we look forward to getting out to St. Andrews, do you think, is this something that we're going to see? Are we going to see Tiger out there for four rounds in a month?
You know, that's a great question. 2 days ago, I would have definitely said yes. Today, this next week's going to be pivotal. Because here's the situation. The Country Club, having been there in 1999, producing the Ryder Cup up there, that golf course is nowhere near being flat. It has some very severe terrain to get up to certain greens and tees. It's not going to be easy. And in the Northeast, June, it's no disco up there. It can be really, really cold, you know, being in Boston. And quite honestly, it would not surprise me now if he took that major off, knowing full well he's not going to win. And you know him, I'm only going to play if I can win. So he may re-strategize this week based on his health to say, you know what, I'm going to focus on the British Open.
Right. The British Open is flat. You know, St. Andrews is flat, so that'd be good. There could be weather, though. You know, we never know what the weather's going to be like at in St. Andrews and in Scotland. It can be super hot. We've seen that before. Or it can be cold. I mean, you saw it a few years in 2015 when they had to stop the tournament on Sunday, cancel the tournament, and finish it on Monday because the wind was blowing so hard and it was so cold over there. And it was really wind. It wasn't cold, but they'll play in the cold. But so, you know, I think what really was really terrible with Tiger is yesterday was that the fact that the temperature changed 35, 40 degrees in one day. So, you know, you don't really know. We don't know what his physios are going to tell him. We don't know what he's going to decide. I mean, I can't imagine him not playing in the U.S. Open. I mean, I think he looks at Ben Hogan after his accident and says, well, you know, Hogan won major championships after he had his car accident, and he taped up his legs and went and played. And I don't know that Hogan went out and played a lot of tournaments in advance of the U.S. Opens and the majors that he won. So I think Tiger is going to try to play. I mean, look, this is the guy's reason for living. You know, let's face it. What else is he going to do? He just lives to play golf and lives to play for these major championships. I mean, he's got 15. He needs three more. And I think he's probably still trying to make it. I mean, think about it. I mean, if he were still in decent physical condition, he could be competitive.
Yeah.
I mean, he really could be.
Look at how competitive he is with all these ailments.
You see the brilliance, right? You see flashes of the brilliance. Of the short game. I mean, he is a mess around the greens right now. But occasionally you see, like Mike said earlier, you see these, oh, my God, that's Tiger. That's Tiger right there. Oh, we saw a glimpse of it. And then all of a sudden, he hits out of a bunker all the way over the green and the ball goes down and you go, oh, my gosh, that can't be Tiger Woods. You know, we're used to thinking it's us. He made a double bogey? Oh, that's what I do, you know.
A triple on the par three, yeah.
Par three, very familiar,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, for me.
There's something that I want to bring up with you guys, and obviously this is always a sensitive topic on the PGA Tour, but I think, especially after we see John Daly in the PGA Championship this week, and he obviously is driving around in that cart, right? And it begs the question, is it time for the PGA to step in and grant some sort of exemption for Tiger Woods here? Because I look at every other major sports league, right?
Yeah.
And what do? They cater to their stars. You look at football, you can't touch a quarterback these days. You look at basketball, there's preferential treatment everywhere. All of these major sports are doing everything they can to elevate the profile of their stars. Is it time for the PGA Tour to step in and grant some sort of exemption for Tiger like they do with John Daly, just so that this guy can keep playing, not just now, but it prolong his career so that maybe when he is in his 50s, he's still playing and then competing in majors?
Should they? Yes. Will they? Probably not.
And would he want to?
Yeah,
right?
I think factor there.
I think you heard it the other day when Tiger commented on Phil and what was going on. This guy is about the PGA Tour and legacy, and I mean, I think he's way too proud to do anything like that. Now, we can't imagine Tiger playing the Senior Tour, right, when he's 50. But if he did, well, then you can take a cart, and he probably would if he wanted it. You know, he might play U.S. Senior Open, the Senior PGA Championship, and you know, I don't know if he'd play these other quote-unquote senior majors, the region's tradition and whatever other majors they're concocting or making up. I don't think he would. I don't think he, if they said, hey, Tiger, we're going to give you a cart, he'd go, I don't think so. I don't think he would do it.
That's a good point. Like, it's one thing for him to be doing it and sitting in 60th place, right? It's another thing where you're in that final pairing and you've got the cart with you. And the pride factor, you're right, it does kick in there. But I think for the PGA Tour at this point, there needs to be some sort of intervention of at least it's offered, at least it's on the table for him if he wants it. Because like you mentioned earlier, Mike, and there's the great saying with Tiger, he doesn't move the needle, he is the needle. And when your needle goes away, that can be troublesome and worrisome for the future of the PGA. The perfect example is just looking at the leaderboard this weekend, right? There's a lot of names on there that a lot of people are not very familiar with. It's not just the non-Tiger factor. There's a lot of guys that people have not heard of on that leaderboard. And the people that people have heard of, like the Justin Thomas, is really the only one sort of floating in that top 10 right now. Other than that, it's a lot of
Jordan
unknowns
Spieth
up there.
Jordan Spieth is not around. And I mean, he's in the tournament, sort of. He made the cut. But you're right. Jon Rahm missed the cut. Scheffler missed the cut. All the show ponies of the world, as Gary McCord likes to call them.
Dustin Johnson.
Call the guys. Dustin Johnson missed the cut. All these characters. You know, where is everybody? Where is everybody? You know, Mito Pereira, God bless him, he won three Korn Ferry Tour events last year. He earned a Battlefield exemption, which is, you know, a promotion, Battlefield promotion. His first tournament happened to be the John Deere. He finished 30th. And he went on, but, you know, he's been up and down all year. Who knows who he is? You're right. Will Zalatoris, we know him kind of. He finished second at the Evans Scholars Invitational a couple of years ago, now called the NV5 Invitational. But he finished second there. He's had a pretty good college career, and he finished second at the Masters. So, but we kind of know who he is. The golf fans know who he is. Abraham Ancer, good player, but he's only got one victory. Matt Fitzpatrick, he's won seven times, I think, on the European internationally, but he's never won on the PGA Tour. I mean, this is a classic thing, Mike. It could be Sean McKeel all over again. You know, who knows who these guys are?
Well, actually, Mito, though, for those who watched the Olympics, he actually tied for third, but he lost in a playoff to get that bronze medal. He does have five other professional wins around the world, so he does have eight professional wins to his record. Not a household name by any stretch of the imagination, but, you know, Tyler, when you were talking about the Tiger effect, you know, it's interesting. When I was at Southern Hills in 1994 for my first PGA championship there, the purse was only $1.75 million, okay? Mm-hmm. Winner getting $310. The Tiger effect kicks in. He turns pro in fall of 96. Today, the winner is getting $2 million, and the purse is $12 million. That is what Tiger Woods has done, not only for himself, but for every single professional golfer. Whoever hosts that Wanamaker Trophy today and gets the $2 million plus check, they better be thanking Tiger Woods, because without him, this wouldn't be happening. But, you know, you go back to some of the names that are on the leaderboard. The one common denominator that I am seeing across the board with the Jordan Spieths, the Taylor Gooches, the Tom Hoagies, Ricky Fowler, they went to Oklahoma State, Texas Christian, Oklahoma State, Abraham Ancer, Oklahoma, and Mito,
Texas Tech.
Yeah. And, you know, so you've got guys that either grew up and played in that type of weather. And that's why this leaderboard is a little wonky. Just because the weather is wonky.
Yeah. Let's dive into the leaderboard a little bit more when we come back. It's been all Tiger so far. We'd love to take your Tiger thoughts as well. 312-332-3776. But when you hear the names that we sort of rattled off there on this PGA Tour leaderboard, is it worrisome for golf and maybe the future of golf, where we may live in a post-Tiger world a little bit sooner than we may have thought? 312-332-3776. It's the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. This segment sponsored by PGA Tour Superstore. Visit any of our three Chicagoland locations today.
Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Barry Cronin and Tyler Rocky.
It's the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Tyler Rocky, Mike Gilligan, and Barry Cronin with you here from the First Midwest Bank Studios. This segment brought to you by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. So quick run through the leaderboard here. We've got on this Sunday final round of the PGA Championship at Southern Hills, Mito Pereira is your leader right now. He's got the three-stroke edge over Matt Fitzpatrick and Will Zalatoris, each of them at 6-under right now. Cameron Young at 5-under. Abraham Ancer sits 5 shots back of the lead at 4-under. And then Seamus Power at 3-under. Our guy, Stuart Sink, currently in 7th right now.
Our guest. He was awesome.
He's got the tie right now with Justin Thomas and Bubba Watson at 2-under.
Yeah, I don't know if he can. I don't know if I'm root for Stuart, but he's 7 shots back. I think that's a bit of a stretch. I think Abraham Ancer's probably 4-under. He's about as far back as you could probably think of them. So really, you know, the last two or three groups is what we're looking at.
Right. So all those guys scheduled to tee off between 1 o'clock and 1:35 right now, Central Time. And the PGA Tour leaderboard is brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. So looking at this leaderboard, all right, I spewed out a lot of names, and I'm sure a lot of people listening said, who's that? Who's that? Who's that? And is that a problem right now in golf that we don't know a lot of these guys up there? Sure, the three of us may know some of these names, but to the average golf fan, they want to see more of the Justin Thomases at the top of the leaderboard.
Well, the casual fan probably obviously doesn't know many of these people. I mean, maybe if you watch the Masters, you know that Will Zalatoris finished second last year. And but you're right. Most of these guys, there's only one guy who's won a tournament, and that's Abraham Ancer, who's won on the PGA Tour. Cameron Young was a very accomplished Korn Ferry Tour player, as was Mito. But you're right. Nobody knows who these guys are, and CBS is having a meltdown. They're going, how do we make people watch this?
Yeah, no doubt. Not only CBS, but having worked for the PGA of America for the better part of...
From working in all these tournaments, Mike, when you see this leaderboard, what's going through your mind in terms of a marketing standpoint or just like the state of golf?
Well, behind closed doors, they're fretting right now. They really... What they would like to see happen is to see these young guys atop the board fold, come back. And what they would love to see is Justin Thomas or Bubba Watson get into this thing.
Right.
Because those are going to be the names that are going to be somewhat recognizable to the common player, common golf fan out there. But yeah, behind closed doors, they're just shaking their head going, because that's what they don't want. They don't want the one-hit wonder. They do not. They want to stay away from the Sean McKeels situations and in all honesty,
Keegan Bradley's
but even if Keegan Bradley won, that would be a name.
Right.
I mean,
right. Keegan Bradley's name in this top 10 right now.
Yeah, they would take that right now. Absolutely.
So, just looking through it too. I mean, is it problematic for golf? Yeah, I think it is a little bit. Now, is this a chance, though, for a young star to maybe emerge? Because, I mean, you look at this leaderboard, you got a lot of players in their 20s right now occupying this top 10.
This is where reputations are made, I think, major championships. But we have guys who've never won a PGA Tour event who stand poised to win a major. They haven't even won a regular tour event, and now they're in line for a major. And it's a great major. People sort of think that the PGA is a kind of a diminished major. It's the fourth major. It's the minor major. But boy, when you look at Southern Hills, what a great golf course. What a great setup. The weather's been very challenging. I mean, it's a tremendous tournament. So whoever wins will enhance their reputation, and then it'll be up to them to build on that reputation in future PGA Tour events, big events, the Memorial, the WGC events, the FedEx Cup events, and other major championships. So this will be their whoever wins this, it's going to be their first step in their career. And so the PGA of America has to hope. Just like they were hoping with Justin Thomas. When Justin Thomas won, they're going, okay, this is going to be his first major. Well, that was a long time ago. That was several years ago, and he's done nothing, in other major championships. He's won other PGA Tour events, so he's had a great reputation, and he's a great guy. Everybody loves him, but he really has underachieved, and he's said that. So,
yeah. Well, and I'll also say, the PGA of America would love to see a two-time winner in Justin, right?
Right.
They would love to see Bubba because he's obviously Masters a couple times. But, Barry, you bring up a good point. The PGA Championship has always been the sister, if you will, to the U.S. Open. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of reasons for that. I mean, it was traditionally the fourth major played during the year. It was played in August. And it seemed that, the U.S. Open always sets up a much more difficult than, the PGA Championship. Well, from an agronomy perspective, it's hard to grow U.S. Open thick rough in the middle of August. I mean, just take a look at your front lawn, for crying out loud. Mm-hmm. What's it look like today and in June versus in August? It's almost like hay sometimes. So, it does get a bad rap, but that is until you win that event. And all of a sudden, it goes from being a second mini major, if you will, to I won a major.
Right. And I look at, too, even the Bubba Watson conversation with his ties to the Saudi League, too. Is the PGA one, are they rooting for him? Because if this is his swan song on the PGA Tour and he goes and wins in a rather lackluster leaderboard right here, sure, he's got the name behind it. But even that, I think, is a little suspect in terms of what the PGA Tour's rooting for. In terms of guys to sort of establish their careers and make this a springboard maybe for them, I think a couple of the names that would be good here. Will Zalatoris, him coming back and winning would be great for golf because he's a guy 25 years old. It may feel a little Morikawa-ish right here as this is the start of his rise. He had the great finish at the Masters as well. Even Mito's another guy too, 27 years old. He's got a chance to make this the launching point for his career as well. Those are a couple of the names I'm looking for. Abraham Answer's a little bit on the older side. He's north of 30 right now, but that's a name that at least there's familiarity, I think, for some people. Yeah. Because he played pretty well, I believe, in some of those tournaments during the pandemic, too, when it felt like that was the only sporting event going on. It was golf and there was UFC on Fight Island, right? Those were the things that people really keyed in on, and a lot of people got a taste of what Abraham Answer could do. So there's a name that's, I think, a little more known. But you've got all these guys that are sort of up and coming, but it's the lack of establishment on that leaderboard right now that I think, like you alluded to, Mike, that they're fretting right now behind closed doors if you're the PGA of America.
No, they really are. And, you know, there's a lot of names up here that are amazing players, but they just don't stand out in the way of a personality, at least not yet.
Right.
And that's part of what makes Tiger Tiger and what makes Phil so interesting and so polarizing is the personality that goes along with an amazing golf game. And these guys all have amazing golf games, but it'll be fun to see if any personality starts to develop with these guys. John Daly-esque, like, mm-hmm. I mean, those where we think of these players not only for what they're able to do on the golf course, but what they can do off the golf course.
You know, it's interesting. We talk about personality. We don't even talk to these players if they're not winning, right? If you don't shoot a good score, you're not in the press tent.
Right.
We don't care about you. You know, it really, honestly, you could have the greatest. Look at Pat Perez, right? He's been on the tour forever. He's never won much. He's in his mid-40s. He's got the greatest personality going. Get him on your podcast or get him on this show, and it'll blow you away. But he doesn't win, so we don't know who he is. So once you start to win and once you start to shoot low scores, you're going to be in the press room, and then all of a sudden we're going to find out about your personality, who you are. So we don't know. I mean, will Mito Pereira have a great personality? Fitzpatrick is kind of the quiet man. Zalatoris is kind of, almost like a valley guy, right? You know, he's like a California kid, even though he lives in Texas. Cameron Young, I saw him interviewed yesterday. You know, not a lot there as far as personality goes. And Abraham Answer, he's another quiet kid. So you don't know what you're going to find. I saw Seamus Power interviewed. He looked like he had a pretty good personality. So, and we know Justin has a great personality. So it'd be great. I sort of am from CBS. If I'm at CBS, I'm looking for Justin. Come on, man. Yeah, everybody else start making bogeys and Justin go crazy, shoot 64, and maybe he could win. He'd be awesome.
Yeah, from personality standpoint, just perusing through the top 10, you've got JT, you've got Bubba Watson. That's another personality. And then Max Homa, I think, is your third one there.
Right. Would be great. And he's one under, though. He's eight off the lead.
They've got a ways to go,
and he's
got
a lot of guys between him, right? It is only being one under. It isn't like he's one under in second place. He's one under, and he's got a bunch of guys to go past.
Exactly. But that's a name there. And Homa won a couple weeks ago, too. If he starts to make a little bit of a rise here and continues to register some of these good finishes, that's a name that golf, I think Max Homa and Harold Varner are two guys that could be so good for golf if they keep playing the way that they are and start contending in these majors, not in the top 10 sense, but more in the top five and be in some of those final two or three
pairings. They got to win. Winning is good.
Yeah, and I would tell you, I totally agree, Tyler. Max Homa would be amazing, and for true Chicago golf fans, if you'll remember 2016 at Ivanhoe, Max Homa won the what was the web.com at the time. So he has won in Chicago, a little bit of notoriety there. But if Max Homa starts out quick, any of these guys, Bubba Watson, Justin Thomas, they start out quick. I'm going to tell you, Mito, Matt Fitzpatrick, Will Zalatoris, they're all going to feel it. And that's what's going to make this interesting. And, you know, you go back to personalities. I can tell you right now, if Bubba wins, one thing's for certain, we'll see tears.
Yeah.
He always sees the big crier out there.
Absolutely. All right. When we come back, we have to talk about this because one of us three played 100 holes of golf yesterday. One of us three. Not combined. One individual on this show played 100 holes. We'll tell you what happened there and some other musings from around the CDGA as well. This segment was sponsored by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. The CDGA Golf Show will be right back.
From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Tyler Rocky and Barry Cronin, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
The segment brought to you by Tullymore Golf Resort. Experience a Michigan masterpiece. It's the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. I'm Tyler Aki alongside Mike Gilligan and Barry Cronin here on ESPN 1000. We're also on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. So, Mike, you were the Iron Man of us three yesterday. You played in 100 holes for charity yesterday. Can you tell us a little bit about...
In the rain.
That's right. And that weather was in and out all day yesterday, too. What was your 100-hole experience like? And can you go through like the charity aspect of it as well?
Yes, we did. The CDGA Foundation's Golf Marathon was yesterday. We do it annually every year. Specifically, we're raising money to support our foundation, which supports the initiatives of for war veterans, individuals with disability, and youth, because obviously that's where the future of the game lies. And this is an annual event for us, our biggest fundraiser of the year. So our board of directors are blue coats, and we have a staff team every year. So yours truly and a few other CDGA staffs, you know, Eric Ciotti and a few of the others, went out and played 100 holes yesterday. And let me tell you, I'm feeling it today.
A scale of 1 to Tiger, how badly are you feeling it this morning?
1 to Tiger, that's good.
Unlike Tiger, I am going to play today. I'm going to tape it up, and I'm going to get out there because look at this weather here in Chicago. It's outstanding. But yeah, great day yesterday. We raised $70,000, actually a little bit more than that. And for those who still want to help contribute to the foundation, cdgafoundation.org, you can donate at any point, any given time. But your money goes to great use. It supports the war veterans. I'll tell you what, you go watch blind veterans play golf with the help of a caddy, and it will move you.
Wow. Right. And Mike, you know, just about the veterans, the CDGA has been doing this since after World War II.
Yeah.
So it isn't just a new thing that somebody thought of after various wars or whatever. This has been going on for, you know, 70 years or whatever. So really a great, great cause.
And it is. And, you know, and it's a lot of fun. I mean, believe it or not.
100 holes.
Yeah, I'm telling you, your hands start to feel it. You grip a club. You just figure, you know, how many practice swings. And by the time you're in your last, you know, 30, 40 holes, practice swings are no longer.
Right. And you've had your practice swings.
And there is no etiquette, let me tell you. Balls are flying every which way. When you are ready to hit, you just let it go. And but it was so much fun.
So what hole do you really start to feel it? Like the fatigue and everything really starts to settle in.
It's almost like it's truly like a marathon. You know how they talk about hitting that brick wall at mile 22? For me, it's hole number 83.
83? Okay, I would have expected it to be somewhere in the 60s or 70s.
It used to be. But as I've gotten older and realized how to best go about this, I was taking it too seriously, too many practice swings early on. Now I realized you just play better when you play fast. And it's like the old adage, you know, play good golf, play fast, but play bad golf, play even faster.
Aging like fine wine.
That's
over here, Mike.
Exactly right.
So when we come back, I do have a couple things that I want to hit on from the PGA Championship. Andy North made a comment about Tiger Woods and his withdrawing from the PGA Championship. We also have Alan Shipnuck coming up at 8:35 to talk about everything from his book about Phil Mickelson. And there was an alternate broadcast as well for this PGA Championship. We'll talk about Joe Buck, Michael Collins, what they did with ESPN on their mega cast for the PGA Championship. This segment brought to you by Tullymore Golf Resort, up North Michigan Golf, without the drive. The CDGA Golf Show will be back in 2 minutes.